This is Scott Beck with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Amber Walsh. Amber is the long-term head of the healthcare group at McGuire Woods. She then headed up the integration of healthcare and private equity at McGuire Woods. She spends most of her time with private equity funds and deals related to private equity funds. She's a brilliant visionary. She's also a great integrator and executor of things, really the great mix of qualities that few people have. We talked today about trends she's watching in private equity, plus leadership, plus maybe if I can get a moment on the subject of her skiing ability and how that translates into thinking about business or not, and a lot more. Amber, take a moment and tell us what trends you're watching currently.
Yeah, there's so many trends that came out of the JP Morgan conference that I'm really excited about. And you and I had actually talked a couple of weeks ago about value-based care and behavioral health and some other trends like that. But what I'll mention today, specifically as we're coming up on our McGuire Woods Healthcare Private Equity Conference next week, I'm really interested in and focused on the trend of private equity focus on integration. And you actually used the word integration a couple seconds ago when you were introducing me. It is really astounding to me how focused, laser focused, the best funds are on integration following M&A. And in particular, I'm really interested in watching what some of the funds across all of their portfolios are doing in the PPM space or the physician practice management space. You know, everyone knows, but it continues to be talked about. At the end of the 90s, there were 30 publicly traded PPM companies that ended up being, just a few short years later, colossal failures. Vicor and MedPartners, two of the most famous, who are still talked about now 25 years later as a cautionary tale. And so much of what is talked about are various elements that were flawed in their structure. But one piece of which that I feel like is getting really, really interesting focus now is integration of physicians whose practices have been acquired into the structure. And while I think funds have learned how to fix some of the other structural flaws of Vicor and MedPartners, namely how they were compensating and misaligning physicians, funds are now focused on how best to integrate not just those acquired physician practices, but young new physicians who are coming on board. So this is a trend that I'm really excited about and I think is so interesting. And I love seeing kind of the maturity of the private equity industry in its physician practice management models.
And I think a fascinating subject because so many of these physicians, particularly there are different types of practices and I date back a lot longer than you do, which is so sad, but there is that period of time where 30 of these publicly traded private practice management companies all went broke. Many of them went public, many went broke. They were really financial engineering models versus integration models, at least most of them. Now they're much more sort of true businesses trying to build businesses, build ancillaries, some adding value-based care, and trying to figure out exactly the issue you talked about, this transition, especially in specialty practice, people that had big specialty practices, but integrating to the next level, recruiting younger physicians, recruiting other physicians, and making it more of a true group practice, more of an institution than simply big practices built by a hugely busy gastroenterologist or hugely busy orthopedic physician or whatever it might be, but more of truly a practice, an institution. And it's fascinating to talk about that. How is that going? What is going on with these practice management firms? It seems like just generally they're much better managed. They're still heavily financed, but it seems far better managed than the ones 30 years ago. What are some observations of what you're seeing in the practice management businesses?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And of course, you know, as in any industry and any subsector of healthcare, there are those who are more advanced and have invested more in true skilled management teams and really cool and innovative integration programs than others. That's natural. But I do think that's correct. I also think that the reason for making that investment in skilled managers is not just because it helps them to retain physicians down the road and make more money down the road with what they've already acquired, but it also helps them on the front end in the competitive bid process, because you now have multiple skilled physician practice management companies in every subsector. You mentioned GI and orthopedics, but you name the specialty, CV, primary care, whatever it is, there are multiple really skilled competitors, and they are now competing not just on money, but on a lot of other things that physicians are demanding, including being able to fulfill the promises of taking some of the administrative burden off, helping them invest in EHR, all of these things. But as much as you've seen some real advancements in the industry, it continues to be a major, major, major topic. And a piece of empirical evidence that I have for that is, as we were planning our healthcare private equity conference, and we solicited our full network, clients, investment bankers, our whole community that works in our industry, the number one topic that came back in various integrations was integration. And that panel on integrating your PPM business at our conference is filled to the gills and has received probably more excitement about it than most of the other panels, which are still doing really well. But I think it just shows how much this is a top of mind topic for so many investors and physicians and healthcare executives.
Well, and it's so fascinating, isn't it? Because last year, people were on acquisition craze, acquiring platforms, acquiring bolt-ons, and now they have to make sure these things actually work. They actually go great. And so the efforts towards making sure it's not just financial engineering, it's not just bolting on to get to higher multiples for arbitraging, but it's actually trying to run a real business. And again, much more so, these practice-driven businesses are viewed as not binary. They shouldn't be binary. They should be successful. Degrees of success. Not like investing in a technology business, it might be binary. These should be successful, but only if they really stick to the knitting and do their integration and make them work. And so it's fascinating to see that kind of interest after a year, such a busy year of acquisitions and bolt-ons. Amber, another question. You're dealing with practices across the range of specialties. You know, a couple of years ago, derm was very hot. Dental's gone through a lot of consolidation. Where are you seeing both success and where are you seeing interest? Really two different topics. Where are you seeing a lot of success in some of these practice integrations? And it might be very platform specific based on the fund that did it and how well they bought, whether they bought a great platform or not. But are there specialties you're seeing more success in than others? And where are you seeing interest this year from the acquisition side? Where are there specialties that are particularly garnering a lot of interest?
So the specialties that I think have had maybe a little bit easier time in integrating and being successful because of that integration are practices where fundamentally the way that the practices always worked together from a compensation standpoint was always in a pretty cooperative fashion amongst physicians within that practice. And now when you're doing a roll-up or integrating in an acquired practice, it's just more of the same. So an example would be in OBGYN. Those practices historically are very accustomed to covering each other's patients. You cannot run an OBGYN practice with just your own physician-doctor relationship. You must rely on your colleagues, and you're compensated in more of a group mentality function. GI is a little bit like that, not quite as much as OBGYN, and that's very different historically than, say, dermatology or orthopedics. So, and I just made some broad, broad generalizations. There are many, many practices that compensate and run their practices differently than what I just said, but that's kind of some themes amongst those specialties. So what I'm really interested in and where I've seen success is those practices like the OBGYN and the GI. I've been really excited to see some, it looks like more smooth integration from what I've witnessed. But obviously a ton of interest still in orthopedics and derm still and some of the other specialties. They've had success, It's just their success are coming where the integration piece, I think, is a little bit more challenging, requires a lot deeper thinking and a lot more heavy lifting and hard work to kind of change the mindset of the participating physicians.
Let me ask you another question. In the old days, one of the success metrics or indicators of one of these private equity funded platforms was a magnificent physician leader, somebody who's literally a driven type of leader. Does that become far less important as these platforms become more institutional businesses? I not so more to have one driven, you know, often inspired leader at the top, but much more of a systematic business, a true platform. I mean, that has to become, does that change the need for that kind of leadership as you become more institutional? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think you definitely have to have that inspired leader at the top. I don't think it necessarily has to be a physician. I think it's very helpful when it is. But I think your point is well made, and it's really interesting comment that I'm frankly interested in watching. I hadn't thought that deeply about. I can think of several different large practices around the country and all specialties where that's certainly the case. You have a really, really dominant physician leader who really helped build the platform. Jim Weber and GI is a perfect example of that. Really dynamic leader. And there are many others like that around the country. But I also have seen plenty of success where the inspirational leader is a non-physician who could really think like and talk to and grew up with physicians. It certainly has to be someone who understands to a pretty strong degree, even if they don't actually hold an MD or DO themselves, what the strains and struggles and challenges and drivers are for physicians.
Thank you very much. Amber, I think we've taken up enough of your time in this podcast. I'd love to have a separate discussion with you around leadership, which we've talked a little bit here, and also about skiing and how that impacts leadership or thinking or management. You know, and taking chances and not taking chances. Maybe a little bit more if I could motivate you for a 30-second discussion on that. Amber Walsh, thank you for joining us. Brilliant leader at McGuire Woods, brilliant leader in the private equity community, also a board member of the Leverage Network, which is spends all of their time focusing on helping people of color to become board members and leaders of hospitals and health systems. So just a remarkable leadership career. Amber Walsh, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.